Be'ezah Shem we begin Perek Shlisha, the third chapter in the Rambam's Hilchos Ezer, Laws of Testimony, Nesiv HaShevet, the Book of Judges. Where in this parak we discuss now the leniencies that apply to the laws of Edus of Mammonis regarding monetary law. And in this parak specifically discussed regarding, in general, the Edim Mammonis and regarding the nullification of the testimony. As Rambam gets Halacha Aleph regarding the certain leniencies as it applies first to Chakiris, the questions that we ask the witnesses when it applies to a loan. So Echad Edim Mammonis, Ve'echad Edim Nefashis. According to the basic halacha, monetary law and regarding capital punishment, a bedrusha v'chakira, which is that we investigate and we check out with seven specific questions and those that are related to that, as we said in the first parak. Shemak says in the pasuk of Yikra, mishpat echad yilchem, one law should be for you, meaning monetary law, capital punishment, since it says b'din nefashot b'derashot v'chakarta, the same thing is regarding monetary law. Aval amar chacham, the sages said, kadesh leitinal delis b'fnei loibin, that we shouldn't close the door in front of those who are borrowing because it's going to be very difficult for the lender to collect. It's not going to want to lend. So, ein edimam in tzrichin drusha v'chakira. So, from rabbinic law, they said that, no, the witnesses for monetary law do not need to be investigated the way, when the lender's bringing them, the way we do for capital punishment. So, Kate said, how so? Amar edim, if the witnesses say, b'feneinu hilva ze'azem on, in front of us, this guy borrowed from this guy 100 dinar, b'shana plainness in that year. So, afa b'shli kibna sachaydish, even though they didn't specify the month, b'li esamakim, and neither the place shilva by where the loan happened, which is one of the important chakiris that we say by capital punishment. And b'le'esamana, neither did they specify the currency, what type of coin it was. Edusam kayem is still their testimony is going to be valid. We don't require the chakiris and drishas that we have by capital punishment. Halacha beis. But when we say this, is specifically b'haidois v'alvois, which are similar. It's just that haidois are where the lender brings witnesses that say that in front of us, the borrower admitted to the lender that he owes him this money, and halvos just means the actual loan actually happened in front of us. Or matanis mechira, so gifts or sales or kesvin or similar types of things where it's necessary for commerce and for regular human interactions. That's where they were lenient and didn't require the drusha v'chakir. So, b'dinei kanasos, regarding the laws of penalties, tzrichim drusha v'chakir, then you have to have drusha v'chakir because it's not so common, and also it's not really a loss of principle. So we're not concerned for any closing of any doors, and we maintained it for regarding the biblical law. And the Ainsach Limit, we don't have to say for sure b'malkas b'galus, regarding lashes, regarding someone killed by mistake, regarding to exile, that for sure the witnesses need drisha v'chakira. V'chein sotim roha dain shadin meruma. So too, if let's say the judge sees that the judgment is coming out deceitful, v'chashlein is concerned for this, tzach drisha v'chakira, then for sure, even by haidos and alvayas, he's going to do these investigations and questions to necessitate from the witnesses. Now, although, like we said, regarding monetary law, primarily, you don't need to have these questions and these investigations. But if you did ask them these types of questions, and they actually, the witnesses contradict each other, they didn't just say, oh, we don't know, then they do some matela. Then their testimony is going to be invalid. Now, but in contrast, let's say the witnesses actually contradict each other by bedikas, which are the secondary type of questions, which are not as relevant, but they contradict each other regarding monetary law, the testimony is going to be valid. So, ketzer hasso, so it depends. If let's say one of the witnesses say, that he borrowed from him in Nisan. The second witness says, it actually happened in the month of Iyar. One of them says, not regarding time, but regarding place, Yerushalayim. It was in Yerushalayim. Hashem Yama says, Loi ke'elab lud, you know, we actually were in Lud. Then they do some betela, then the testimony is going to be invalid because they're contradicting each other by the chakiris, which is regarding Isman or Makam. Chayin sotum omer echad, if one of them says, that's regarding chakiris. Then if one, which are seven specific questions. Chayin sotum omer echad, sotum one of them says, Chavish al yayin halbo, he lent him a barrel of wine. Hashem Yama, the second one says, no, Shashem Nais, it was actually oil. They do some betela here also, the testimony is going to be invalid. Shadi hikhisha baterisha. The drisha is also relevant to the actual primary testimony, which has the same halachas like chakiris, and therefore, if they contradict, will also invalidate. Avalam amma echab, now regarding the bedikas. But if let's say one of them says, mon shachar, it was black coin. Vashayinamah, the second one says, mon labanah, it was a white coin. Or zeman bedyut al-yayin ha'yu kishalbo. The one says that, oh, it was in the upper story when he lent him. Vashayinamah, he said, bedyut al-techtinah, you know, it was on the lower mezzanine level. So Adishon Kayemes, then the testimony is going to be valid because that's just bedikas, that's not really primary to the essential testimony that they're saying, and therefore even if they makach each other, it's going to be valid. Even if one of them says, Manahulvo, he lent him 100 dinar. Bashinam, the second one says, Mosaim 200 dinar? Chayim l'shal money, he's going to have to pay the minimum of the two of them, which is 100 dinar, Shiesh b'chlam Mosaim money, because in 200 is already include 100, and that 100, they're not contradicting each other. Let's say one of them says, the monetary value of a barrel of wine he has that he owes him by him. And this one says, the monetary value of a barrel of oil is what he owes him. So it's not like the actual thing, because that would actually be contradicting. But the value of that, then you pay the lesser of the two monetary values. Anything similar to this, in other words, whether you can resolve the words of the witnesses and not contradicting, we will resolve it, as we're saying, when it comes to the things like bedikas, or things which could be resolved, and they're not clear out, contradicting each other. Halacha Dalet continues regarding another leniency regarding Edi Hava, specifically regarding testimony in the document. So din Torah, according to the biblical law, she'im akabin edis, we don't accept testimony, liberty in the mumnis, now we're going to monetary law, liberty in the punishment, now we're going to capital punishment, ilm epi edim, has to be from the mouth, you have to hear oral testimony from the witnesses. Shlomek says the pasuk in the bottom, api shnayim edim, on the mouth, based on the word of the two witnesses, which teaches us mepiim, ilm epi, velem iksav yadim. Has to be from the mouth and not from the handwriting. Avam debi seifrim, but from rabbinic law, shechaitchen din in mumnis, we decide monetary cases, be'edu shemeshtar, regarding testimony that's in the document. Even though the witnesses are not around. And the reason why we did this again is Kadesh Laitinul does when they live and that we don't close the door in front of the borrowers because if the witnesses are not around, he's not going to be able to collect, and why should I lend the money? But if it's in the document, it'll always be available. And, but, ve'in don ve'edush b'shtar b'din ha'knosos, as we said, here also, we're not going to educate the testimony in a document for the laws of penalties. I mean, so if we don't have to say that we're not going to utilize that for lashes and for exile, that is based on the biblical law, has to be based on the oral testimony and not on what they wrote down. Halacha Hey continues regarding retracting from one's testimony. So once we're talking about what's written in the document, which is going to become relevant, any witness that his testimony has been evaluated and investigated in the court, whether monetary, whether capital punishment, once it's been accepted and checked out, he cannot back out. So Omar, let's say he wants to back out, and he says, no, Muta Yisi, I was mistaken when I said what I said. Shogu Yisi, Muta, I was misled. Shogu Yisi, I was mistaken. You know, I remember that it's not the way I said it. Well, the fact is, he only did it because I was afraid. In Shemile, we don't listen to him. Even if he gives a rationale, he gives an explanation for his words, doesn't make a difference. He also cannot add on to his testimony a stipulation. He says, yeah, what I said is true, but there was a condition to that. No. The rule of it is called Dvarim Shema Eid. Any of the words that the witness says, Achar Shenechre Dusai, after his testimony has been investigated, Shiyavim Achlom, that from his now new words will come out, Bitla Eidus, a nullification of his testimony, or some added stipulation. Ein Shemalai, we don't listen to him. Once, Kimin Shehigid, once he said something, cannot go and testify and alter that original testimony. Now, Halacha Vav relates it back to what we were saying before regarding in witnesses in a document. Witnesses that are signed in a document. That's like as if they were already checked out their testimony in the court because a person usually does not have the audacity to forge his signature. And therefore, they cannot back out from what they already had signed on the document. Now, but when we say this, if you could validate, which the document has to be validated and verified, if you could verify the document, not based on the testimony of the witnesses themselves, for example, we have other witnesses who could verify, say, yeah, we know this is their handwriting, or we actually have a different document with their handwriting, it was already verified once before, and this looks the same, so again, we don't need them to verify it. So then we're saying, okay, your testimony has already been verified, you can't now go and add on or change it. Let's say we have no way, we don't know if this is their signature, how we don't know everyone's handwriting. The only way we know it is, we never saw such a, no one knows their handwriting, and it's never been in our court before. We need them to say, oh, this is our handwriting. And they say, yes, this is our handwriting. But we were forced to do this. We were actually minors, which were invalid. We were relatives, which were invalid. We were actually misled. They believe the Yiftal Hashtar, and they're going to be able to nullify the document because it's right now at this point that's called the Pesha Asahu Pesha Itter, which means say it's only based on my testimony that you're saying that this is a valid document. Well, I'm clarifying in the same moment that, however, it was wrong from the inception, and he's believed to say that. Halacha Zayin. Let's say they said Psuli Edusinu Baveru. Well, this that we were invalid as witnesses back then on this document was because we had sinned. And therefore, as the sinners, we weren't valid. Actually, we had taken a bribery for this testimony, and therefore, but it was totally wrong what we did. They're not believed in that situation. Why? A person cannot make himself into a wicked person, and the only way he's invalidating himself is not like a relative or misled or whatever. They're saying that, oh, we were wicked. You're not believed to say that about yourself. Until we have witnesses that testify on this person that he's wicked, then we're going to know, oh, he's a Russian if he was not valid as a witness. They say that our words were based on trust, meaning that the borrower trusted the lender. He really didn't borrow anything. He just wrote from a document and gave it to the lender. If I need to borrow, then you have this document right away and you lend me the money right away. But he trusted him that he's only going to use it unless he lends it, and now he's actually producing it. And these guys are signing it. So he's saying, we only signed because of the trust, but he actually never lent him the money. The witnesses are not believed to say that. Whoever testifies on such a document of trust, it's like he's testifying falsely, because you're not allowed to hold on to shtar money in one's house. And by being an accomplice of that crime, you're essentially saying that you testified falsely, and you're not believed to say that. Amar Edim, if the witnesses say, shtar mecher zeh, this document of this sale, maido nimtzer lanu alav, there was actually notice given to us about it beforehand. In other words, the seller let us know. He says, before we write the document, he says, I want you guys to know, I don't really want to sell this. I'm being forced to. They're using some hardball with me, and they recognize that he's being forced, and really that actually invalidates the sale. And they say regarding this document that they signed that that was the case. Although their handwriting could be brought from somewhere else to verify the document, we don't need their own verification, so you don't really have a peshas or peshahit there. Still, I read on them, they are believed to say that we only signed because of this person's maida, that he's being forced and thus invalidating the document. Halacha test. Amru, if they said, Atnai ha-yishtar zeh. Yeah, this is a document, but it was based on a stipulation that should be fulfilled, which was not fulfilled yet. So, if their handwriting could be verified from somewhere else, so in the man, like we said, that since it doesn't say anywhere here in the document any stipulation, they cannot nullify by this second statement of theirs, because once they already testify in the document, they cannot go and shuv chayzimag and say another testimony, which would invalidate it. But but if let's say document could only be verified through their own testimony, they need to say this is our handwriting, then they believe again because of Peshas or Peshetta. You want me to say that this is verified? Yeah, but I'm going to tell you that it had a stipulation related to it. So it's all considered one act of testimony. And therefore, so then they say to the litigants, so first fulfill the stipulation and then you can come to adjudicate the court case because even the witnesses you have are saying that there is a tanai relating to it. Halacha Yud. If one of the witnesses say, Al Tnai Ho Yadvar, one of them says, there was a stipulation regarding to this transaction. Vashenim, the second witness says, Lahoy Yisham Tnai, there was no stipulation. So you really only have one witness. Comes out that really it's like you only have one witness sign on the document, which is not the same as having it verified with two witnesses, because one of them is saying, there's a stipulation to that regard. Lachid Aleph, regarding the testimony not in front of the litigant. So Gambadin Mamanis, also regarding monetary cases, meaning like regarding capital punishment, in contrast, like we said in the beginning of this parak, regarding Drusha V'Chakira, which is only B'din Nefash, not B'din Mamanis. But for this, also D'in Mamanis, Ema Kablin Eidus, you do not accept testimony from the witnesses, Il B'fnei Baldin, only in front of the defendant. Now, Emhoi Baldin Chayla, but let's say the litigant was ill. I show you Eidim of Aksham Leil Chamin Nizam. Well, let's say the witnesses say, look, we're sorry, I know he can't come, but we had a trip to go overseas. The shochel about them, they sent to the litigant, he didn't come. So then, he will accept the testimony from the witnesses, even not in front of the other litigant. Now, but when we say this, when it's regarding oral testimony, but if it's in the document, then actually the courts will verify the testimony of the witnesses, even not in front of the defendant, in front of the other litigant, because biblically, really, witnesses that are signed on the document, it's like they're already verified. And this that you have to verify is only rabbinic, and therefore we'll do that even not in front of the other, in front of the defendant. Now, even if the other guy who can't make it to court is standing up and he's screaming and he's saying, "Shtar mezuyfu, what do you mean that that document was a forgery? Eidei shekhem, these witnesses are liars." So the eidei shekhem, they were invalid witnesses. We don't pay attention to what he's saying. We verify the document. If he has some type of proof to invalidate, you have to let him invalidate. But regardless, we're going to go ahead with the verification of the document. Luckily, basically, continues, what happens if the litigant is a very strong, difficult person? Anyone has proof with witnesses to extract money from the defendant. So Metapa Ba'edim, he has to be busy with his witnesses, Ashivim Lebezim. He has to coax them, he has to try to get them into court to say the testimony. Now, Vim Yadu Bezim, let's say the court knows, Shabaldina Alam, that the defendant is a very difficult person. The Torn HaTaveya, and the claimant is claiming, that the witnesses are afraid of his litigant, to come and testify for him because they're afraid that this person's going to do to them. So, what the courts do, they actually force the defendant, that he has to bring the witnesses to testify like what he's saying, that he actually does not owe anything. Now, they're not so suspect to lie because what they're afraid of and what he's going to do. I mean, they'll be quiet. They won't stand up. They won't have the audacity to lie because they're afraid of him. So they would actually force him to say, hey, you need to bring them to testify that you don't owe. If not, then you're liable because we know they're just afraid of you. So to anything that's similar to this, that's how we treat and we judge for this difficult type of a person.